Okay, we're talking about a fascinating topic. It's one of these topics which, again, a decent amount of the shiur, at least in the beginning, will be in the world of halacha, and then we're going to shift to what I think is one element of the Gra's unique contribution, which I think is fascinating and a little bit well known. I think it gets to the core of maybe one or two elements of the Gra and what he's really all about. Let's begin like this. The Torah tells us in Parshas Naso, the Torah tells us that there is a mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim, Nisias Kapayim. That mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim is a mitzvah which is fulfilled inside the Beis HaMikdash. It's a mitzvah which is fulfilled outside the Beis HaMikdash. The primary location of that particular mitzvah in Shas, the seventh parak of Sota, is where the Gemara discusses more at length the halachas of Birkas Kohanim. It is undoubtedly a mitzvah that is incumbent upon Kohanim. Many Achronim point out that there's a Sefer Charedim, that maybe the mitzvah is also chal on the Yisrael to receive the bracha, and a lot of discussion about this particular mitzvah, its status as in avodah in the mikdash, the fact that we say it around there in Shemona Esrei, its precise sort of there's a lot of Torah about the nature of Birkas Kohanim, but we know on some level at least it's a bracha that a person gets from Kohanim. A machlokas in Chazal, Kohanim also get a bracha, how that works, from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Vani Yevarchem, how you read that. A lot of discussion here going on in the nature of Birkas Kohanim. It is relatively clear, there's no makar really in Chazal, at least Bepashtas, that indicates that Birkas Kohanim is a mitzvah tluya va'aretz. Not only is it not a mitzvah tluya va'aretz, but there are mitzvahs that are not tluya va'aretz, but they're still limited to Eretz Yisrael. So Kiddush HaChodesh is done in Eretz Yisrael, and Eglah Rufa is done in Eretz Yisrael. There are a variety of, and Smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael, but there's no real indication that Birkas Kohanim should be limited in any way to Eretz Yisrael. And nevertheless, the minhag of, at minimum, Ashkenazim in Chutz La'aretz is that Ashkenazim in Chutz La'aretz do not duchen other than on Yontif, and even on Yontif, they only do so at Musaf. It's a very, very fascinating thing. And this is an old practice. By Sfardim, they hold like the simple pshat in the Gemara and then Rishonim. There's a mitzvah to duchen every day. If you don't duchen every day, Rambam quoting from Chazal, it's like you're over on a bunch of different Isurim. Certainly you're over Bittel Mitzvahs Asei of duchening. Sfardim still in Chutz La'aretz do duchen. There were certain tzaddikim that when they had to travel to Chutz La'aretz, think of Avram Shapira, Shiva Merkaz Arav, Cohen. I think he would daven with Sfardim when he was in Chutz La'aretz. I think Rav Elie Bear also sometimes when he goes to hear from Sfardim their Birkas Kohanim. There does seem to be such a practice, but the meaning of Ashkenazim is not to. And the major question is why not? How did that minhag develop? Now sometimes when you hear questions about why, what's always interesting is to see like how good are the answers. Sometimes I go, why isn't this din apply nowadays? And it's like, well, there's a Gemara that says it doesn't apply nowadays. That's a very good answer. Sometimes it's, why isn't it apply nowadays? There's a very smooth explanation as to why a particular din would not be applicable. But when you look through, we're going to highlight, I think, three or four different answers to this question, why we're not knowing nowadays in Birkas Kohanim. And then we'll sort of look at those answers, and then we'll see the Gra's, I think, reaction to them. The first answer, why aren't we duchening nowadays, is a fascinating answer. It is found in the Sefer Chassidim. It's quoted in the Tshuva, the Ma'aril HaChadashos, in Simen Chaf Aleph. The Beis Yosef quotes it, although Beis Yosef is not so fond of it. And that is the following idea. The minhag was of Kohanim, how could a Kohen duchen if he didn't first go to the mikvah? So, therefore, really, they started believing you can only duchen if you first go to the mikvah. However, by Ashkenazim there, it was very hard to go to the mikveh every single day. Especially in the winter, it was just so cold. So since in order to go duchen, Kohanim had this practice, they're first going to go to the mikveh, and they can't go to the mikveh every day because it's too cold in the winter, so memela, they stop duchening at all. When do they duchen? On Yamim Tovim. Why? Because the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Chayiv Adam L'Tahir Atzmo Beregel, there was a practice that even if in general I don't go to the mikvah, so I'll go to the mikvah, L'chol HaPachos, in honor, in advance of Yontif, and therefore I can duchen on Yontif. That is a very surprising answer. The Beis Yosef points out it's a deeply odd answer. It's a classic chumrah de asi lide kula. There is a chumrah to go for Kohanim to duchit, to be tovel in the mikvah before. Okay. There's no chiv to go to the mikvah before you duchen. And if the option was duchening and violating a mitzvah taseh, or not duchening because of the pashut that a person should of course duchen, so Beis Yosef writes there in Simen Kuf Chav Ches, he quotes this idea, he has a very hard time with it. He says, Dachak Atma Lekayim Minag Mekomo. He's just like doing his best to justify a problematic practice. Eno Maspik, Kimasha Kasav Nation Noagim Litzvah Kodem, Hai Chumra De Asidei Kulahu, Vitali Tanya Bidalo Tanya. That's not a reason not to go. Very, very odd, very, very surprising. That's the first justification for why the Minag is in the Chutz La'aretz, not to go to a mikvah. How do we learn these sugyas in Camp Keli this past summer? Great, so hopefully it's a little bit of Chazara, and then we'll be, I think, most of it, unless you've got some real time on the graph. The second Mahalach is as follows. This is quoted by the Ma'aril also, that L'maisa were surrounded by non-Jews, and Birkas Kohanim is given only to Jews, and therefore, it sounds like there's like, this chashash almost, like we don't want to do Birkas Kohanim, because since there are non-Jews around, we'll end up also blessing the non-Jews, but the bracha should only really go to the Jews. Also, a little bit like mitzvah d'oraisa. I don't know. Okay, surprising. Third explanation. Also found in the Ma'aril. Also found in Ma'aril, we'll get there in a little bit. This is found in the Beis Ephraim, which is maybe this larger discussion. Are Kohanim considered to be real Kohanim? Are they Kohanim Miyuchasim? That since our Kohanim, we're not sure, are they really full-blown Kohanim or not? We're not sure exactly how to categorize them. That therefore, at times, we are a little bit machmir in terms of the way that we treat them. And since the Gemara tells us, in Maseches Ksuvos, that a czar, a non-Kohen, who gets up to Duchen and violates an Aseh, or violates an Isser, so lemaisa we're machmir that Kohanim don't go up at all. That we should be that they don't go up at all. Okay, we do it on Yontif in order to the Beis Ephraim because we don't want to forget about the institution entirely. So we're machmir all the time a little bit of a chashash of a safek bracha. But on Yontif, so we don't forget the institution entirely. We'll still end up doing it because we're not really that nervous. We sort of do treat them like Kohanim a lot of the time, but at extra chumra, I don't want to do it every single day. Okay. Now we have what I think is the most well-known explanation. This is an explanation which is found in a lot of Rishonim. It's also found elements of it already in the Ramah. The Ramah quotes it in Darche Moshe, but he quotes in the Ramah. And that is the following. In order to duchen, a person has to be in a state of simcha. A person has to be in a state of simcha. In the Emos HaChol, what?
The first quote of this in Hebrew.
Yeah.
Refreshed it?
Yeah,
this is just
topic.
The heart
with
a good
type.
Eretz
Tzvi. The Kashuk Lover. Yeah, the Kashuk Lover. Everyone's heard of it. Okay. The Ramah writes as follows. That we have simcha on yantif, and in order to give the bracha properly, a person has to be besimcha. Normally we're not in a state of simcha, if we're nervous about our parnasa. What about Shabbos? Shabbos, we're not working. Shabbos, we should be calm. The Ramah says that masha'in kein b'shar hayamim, afil b'shar b'shashana, shetrudim b'hirhurim al m'chiyasim v'al bitul malachtim. On Shabbos, I feel the anxiety about my parnasa and about the fact that I'm not working. Because I know that as soon as Shabbos is over, I'm going to be inundated with emails. I'm going to be overwhelmed with work that I have to do. And therefore, I have a certain kind of tear done. I can't do it. On Yontif, people are really pretty calm. On Yontif, they're happy. That's why we can duchen on Yontif. So says the Ramah, okay, so why are we only duchen again Musaf on Yontif? Why not duchen at any other time? V'afil b'yontif ein noshen kapayim ela b'tfilas Musaf, only on Musaf. She yotzim az mi beis hakneses. So you're about to leave shul. an extra joy experience at that moment. Not really. V'yismichu b'simchas yantif. You're on your way to experience ein simcha el b'basar, ein simcha el b'yayin. Musaf time, you're like looking forward towards that meal. Apparently the Ramah says that's the minhag of Jews. That when it comes to Musaf ready, they're thinking about lunch. And that time I'm already tapping into this element of simcha. I'm coming by my parnasa. I'm thinking about my food. And because that is the case, then they're at enough simcha that they can come along and they can lead us in duchening. Okay. We have a lot of different explanations. All of these explanations are somewhat surprising. And as Achronim point out, they're very hard to understand. It's not clear that like this level of simcha of the Trutim b'malachtam is ma'akev and birkas kohanim. Like we don't like have psychologists there testing people's rate of happiness. I forget what the scale is called to assess happiness. We don't give kohanim that test every day to assess like, not today, sorry. You know, or, yeah, you're okay, you're good to go. It's very surprising. Akadikach, the Aruch HaShulchan comes around. Now, the Gra points out that it does send in Zohar a little bit, this idea about Simcha. But comes along the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan has the following line. V'hine vaday ein shum tam nachon lemin hagenu levatal mitvas aser. There is no good reason. None of this would be good enough to justify the fact that we are not duchening. The Birchas Kohanim, kol hashanah kula, is an obligation. V'kasvu de minaga ruahu. And they write, this is a very, very challenging kind of a minog. Aval ma na'ase, what can we do? Uki'ilu bas kol yatza, shelo lahaniach lanu lisa kapayim b'chol hashana kula. It's like a bas kol went out, don't duchen. Umikublani, I have a mesorah, says the Aruch HaShulchan, sheshnei gedole hador bedoro shelifaneinu. That there were two gedolim from the previous generations, kol echad b'mekomo, each one in his place, Ratza lahanhig nesias kapayim b'chol yom. He wanted to do it. Ukeshek bilu yom ha-mugba lazeh. When they established the day, we're dropping this thing. We're going back to the din doraisa. We're going to start doing this. Nizbal bel ha-inyan. The whole thing fell apart. Below Allah lahem, they weren't able to do so. The amru sheroim min ha-shamayim nigzera kain. We see from shamayim nigzera kain. There's a gezeir not to. There's a lot of questions to unpackage here. I'm going to unpackage the people who are raising their hands right now, we will get to your questions. It's a lot to talk about. Who are these gedolim that were trying to establish it? Why were they trying to establish it? What happened exactly when they tried to establish it? And why did they care that Ki'ilu Abaskol came out? What exactly is going on here? Many years ago, someone sent me an unpublished article from a certain Talmud Chacham. Fascinating. Basically going through a bunch of examples of this kind of a phenomenon where there seems to be like a din, almost like a din doraisa on the books, and already from the time, I'm talking about like Hasidim, not like davening bizman. I'm talking about like hundreds and hundreds of years earlier of like a practice that should be established that like wasn't kept, and there's like massive justifications as opposed to anything else. So one example there would be sleeping in a sukkah. Sleeping in a sukkah, the minhag in Chutz La'aretz, that people, the derech kol, that was minhag, right? People sleep inside. Why not sleep in a sukkah? So there's no, like, it's not like there's like a Bali HaTosfos about this. It's like, where does this come from not to? And the poskim struggle a lot in Shulchan Aruch and figure out, like, where does this, like, come from? Some relate to this also about sitting in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. That's like a gemara. You have to sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. But, like, the minhag by some people is not to do it. We have this kind of a phenomenon of, like, what's going on here? Like, it seems to be on the book, seems like the Gedolei HaRishonim are all into it, and suddenly it's like, not happening. Like, what is driving some of these things? So, we're going to focus on the following. There were two tzaddikim, there were more potentially, but there were two tzaddikim that tried very, very hard to establish on some level Birkas Kohanim in their shuls. One is the Gra, and the other is his great Talmud of Chaim Velazhner. They are two of the Gedolim. There's some more, but they are the two that tried to do it. This is quoted in a lot of the Sfarim. It's not, it's in a, it happens to be, it was not fully successful, but it was partially successful. We don't duchen nowadays in Chutz La'aretz. If you look at the Pasa Shulchan is one of the great Talmidim of the Gra that moved to Eretz Yisrael. So Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael duchen. Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael duchen every single day. That point to the Pasha Shulchan, is largely because the Talmidim of the Gra came and they had to make a decision. Some of them in Hagim from Chutz La'aretz they kept when they came to Eretz Yisrael. The mainstream practice when the Talmidei HaGra came was likely to follow Sephardic practice in Eretz Yisrael. Talmidei HaGra came as an independent kehila, and therefore they were observing a variety of things. But there were certain things that they kept, certain things they changed. And he writes, "Uvikolenu the kilas prushim in Yerushalayim miyom shezachinu lekvoa yeshiva senu be'Eretz Yisrael v'Yerushalayim." The time that we were zoked to come to Eretz Yisrael, Irakodes min hagenu shakohanim nosik kapeim b'chol yom uveshabbos yontov kedas. That was the Gra's opinion. We've been davening every day. And it manifested itself in Eretz Yisrael. So part of the fact that we do it in Eretz Yisrael, the men of Eretz Yisrael, is because of the same desire the Gra had to do in Chutz La'aretz. Like, even though there are Ramaz Svara about Simcha, Pashto supplies, what to say about this? Pashto supplies in Chutz La'aretz also. Chudim B'malach applies also maybe in Chutz La'aretz. How many things apply? Kohanim Yuchasim applies in Chutz La'aretz also. But the Gra, sort of his Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael, they were somehow able to do it. So what's the Maisa? What exactly happened? So in the Sefer Hilchos Gra Uminhagav, that's your Sternbach. So they write that B'chutz La'aretz the minhag is to do it only on Yantif. Aval Rabbeinu the Gra Hatakif Haya Me'od B'drishaso Shishu Kapayim B'chol Yom. The Gra would get up and the Gra would say, we got a duchen every single day. Got a duchen every single day. And the Pasal Shulchan, he quotes the Pasal Shulchan here, that this is what they did, and it says muva mipi baal pasah shulchan. They say with the baal pasah shulchan that he used to, that Reb Shmuel Heller would say that he heard from the Gra that he would go shayaholich mi ear le ear umizbatil mi Torah v'tfila. The Gra was like a real sensitive to bittul Torah, but the Gra would go from city to city b'mivatil Torah. Luhaya, he would do that. Luhaya biyadu l'sakin the tovus haklal m'siyas kapayim b'chol yom. If he was able to institute this kind of a duchening, he would totally do it. So what happened? So Chaim V'Lajner apparently said over, this is quoted in a lot of different Sfarim. Again, here Rav Sternbach quotes it, quoted in the Sefer Aliyas Eliyahu and Ma'al Sasulam, in the Sefer Hagon, Chelek Aleph, a big discussion about this. It was quoted in a bunch of Makoros. The Gra apparently was arrested the day before. You thought only Chassidus Rebbes, like the Baal Tanya, could get arrested? No. They just have holidays when they got freed. By Litvaks, like, it is what it is. Like, okay, you move on. Next day. It, like, stops and being Mekayim a mitzvah. So the Gra's about to do it, and then the Gra apparently sees, he ends up getting arrested. It was some Alila Shav. There were those who said lies about the Gra. The Gra understood that there's an Ikuv Min HaShamayim, I'm not supposed to do it. And for that reason, he did not end up doing it. Reb Chaim V'Lajner also apparently thought, okay, maybe this is the Gra, but maybe I got a shot at this. Maybe I got a shot at this. Maybe something was going on, was going on there. So the Netziv writes in a tshuva, Chelek Bey Simon Kuv Dalet. He says, "V'zichruni shashamati k'meduma mi'chusni hagon Reb Itzla V'Lajner." These are not stories that are like the Netziv is telling this over. It comes from Chaim V'Lajner's Mishpacha. And then he says, because there's a big machlokas in Vilna, Achar Kach, the Reb Chaim V'Lajner said, you know what? I think I'm going to do it. Let's give it another shot. He decided to do it. Uva oso laila nisraf chatzi ha'ir. A fire burst out, destroyed half the city, including the shul. Okay. This is not classic, like, Litvisha post-game talking. This is like the Baal Shem, I tried to do it, and there's a baskol min ha-shamayim. I should be makel about chadash. Okay, the Bach came to me in a dream. Like that's chassidim. This is like wild stuff. The Netziv is like the head of V'Lajin. Chaim V'Lajner started it. The Gra's like the Gra. What is going on here? What is going on here? Okay. Let's unpack it. I think a little bit. First step. Why is there? In the perspective of Torah's Hagra v'Talmida, why is there this opposition? Why is there this Ikuv min HaShamayim? The Aruch HaShulchan says, Ki'ilu a bas kol went out. why is there this ik of min hashamayim? What exactly is going on? So I saw quoted in the Sefer Mailas Hasulam, there are those who make the following suggestion that, by the way, I should point out, in this, they quote in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, a Sefer about the Chavetz Chaim, they quote Herzog, former chief rabbi, that the Rav Herzog said that he was told that in the time of the Gra there was another attempt at Duchening. The Gra did not back down. He's going to go for another one. There was a Kohen Miyuchas. There was a Kohen in the city that everyone knew was a reliable Kohen, was Mordechai Kohen. The Gra was going to have him Duchen, and he died the night before. Like, something is going on here. You know what? Let's unpack it one step earlier. What's going on here? So the pashtus is that this is classic Gra. The Gra, as we spoke about in the first week, is not scared. And the Gra is not mevatel his das, but he thinks the Ikar HaDin should be. The Gra has no problem going back what he thinks is really the halacha. The Gra has no problem saying people should be wearing tefillin all day. You're wearing tefillin all day. The Gra has no problem saying this minhag is incorrect and that minhag is incorrect. We've been doing it like this way, we've been doing it like that way. The Gra is not, akadekach, we spoke it the first week. The Gra is not nervous, or maybe nervous. The Gra is willing to argue with Rishonim at times. The Gra is willing to argue with Rishonim at times. Mm-hmm. Like Ragat Shavar Esk in a certain sense. The Gra is willing to do this. So the idea of him wanting to do it makes a lot of sense. Because the Maisa, he doesn't care what the minute is. So what's driving this Paschal? So one suggestion, again, that's it from Maila Sasulam, they quote, is that perhaps they were nervous, like the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Masechas Gittin, to be motzi laz al harishonim, that it would look disrespectful to the generations of people in Chutz La'aretz that weren't really doing it. It would look somehow rude. It would look somehow inappropriate that everyone in Chutz La'aretz is going to be for generations they didn't duchen and now suddenly they are. That would look inappropriate on some level. Okay. In the Netziv, though, it sounded like there's like something more than that. That's not about protecting the integrity of the earlier generations. Besisrei hashpa'as habracha hayored al yedei beis hakneses shebechutz la'aretz. There's some goodness that comes through the shuls of Chutz La'aretz. And somehow this goodness that comes to the shul in Chutz La'aretz is impacted negatively. What does that mean? It's a sod. I don't know. That's what it means to be a sod. We don't really know. They quote that Rabbi Shaul Salanter was very bothered by this entire anecdote. Salanter said, I don't understand this at all. If you're a grub person, we assume Torah is lo b'shamayim hi, the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Nun Tes. We assume that Baskel doesn't impact anything. We assume that none of this really, really matters. Like, none of this matters. Who cares that a Kohen died the night before? Who cares the shul was burned down? Who cares that you were arrested in prison? No. Adarava, lo b'shamayim hi, do what you think is right, no matter what. The Gra is like, the Gra's the Gra. Like, who cares? He's a halachist. Is he so mocking and covered every show in him? He's willing to change things that were done for the last full sentence. He thinks they're incorrect. He didn't like all the things. So what exactly is going on here? It's a fascinating and very troubling and almost very odd kind of a thing. So I want to make a little bit of a suggestion here. You can take this or leave it, but I think this is a wild idea. But I'm gonna take a stab at something. I'm going out of my comfort zone a little bit, but I think something interesting. There's a sefer written about the Gra called Hagona Chasid Mivilna. There they quote something. They quote something fascinating. They quote from a letter from Reb Shmuel Heller, comes from the Talmidei Hagra, from Tzfas. Yud Dalet Teves Tafresh Lamed Vav. He was writing this letter to Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger. This is found in a couple of different places in a sefer called Beis Yosef Chadash, printed in Yerushalayim and Tafresh Lamed Hey. But this ksav yad we have from Hillel Schlesinger, the following line. You ready? It's a wild thing. Uve'inyan asher sha'al, asher shama mimeni be'inyan. I can't read those words there. V'lo yaduma. I'll tell you the following thing. Meid ani alai shamayim va'aretz. I have a the heavens will testify that kishamati kama pa'amim me'ez kvod ha'gon ha'chassid Yisrael ba'al mechaber sefer b'pasa shulchan. The pasa shulchan said, asher shama me'ez ha'gon ha'amiti Rav Eliyahu Mivilna, the Gra, shechusa yagan aleinu, amen. Ki imhaya ola biyado shnei dvarim. There were two things he wanted to do. Haya mevatel Torah v'tfil misavim ear le'ir. Same like, oh, but what are they? V'hu echad levatel. This is a wild idea. Cheirim Rabbeinu Gershom be'inyan shtei nashim. He loved to drop Cheirim Rabbeinu Gershom. Ki bazeh yihyeh his karvas hagu'ula. If we could drop the Cheirim of Rabbeinu Gershom, I don't think this marmakum is famous. I don't know why not. This is a good marmakum. Then it would help initiate and further the ge'ula. V'hasheni hu sheyitru hakohanim yedeyem v'yivarchu berkas kohanim b'chol yom. Okay. First of all, it's wild. I don't know what that means. I guess, but it would be ridiculous. No real information here about Cheirim Rabbeinu Gershom. Cheirim Gershom, in general, just to clarify, Rabbeinu Gershom made a bunch of different cheirims. One of the cheirims is that you can't marry more than one woman. One of the cheirims is that you can't divorce a woman bal korcha. Cheirims is reading another person's mail. The great sefer we quoted in the past, that's the Kanus B'Yisrael. Over there on the side, the four-volume set has a long discussion about Cheirim Rabbeinu Gershom's. How long is it binding for? In which place was it binding? Are there exceptions to it? What's the status of reading email? Is that like reading mail? You know, what about reading someone's WhatsApp? Oh, is that part of the original takana of Rabbeinu Gershom? Did he have in mind? What about when it comes to marrying other people? Is there a difference if we're all being makabel that? Were they makabel at b'makom yibum? Is it possible that you shouldn't proactively go marry to? But what would happen if it was b'makom yibum and suddenly you have a second wife? Would that be okay? Big discussion about Cheirim Rabbeinu Gershom. I wonder if what you see is something interesting. We'll speak at some week. Maybe even we don't have the next 2 weeks. We don't have, but we'll speak at some point. There is some like gra geula kinds of a thing going on. I wonder about the following. I'm going to make a suggestion. Like this may be totally a waste of your time. If you look in the Bir Hagra on Shulchan Aruch, when the Bir Hagra is commenting on the din there, the Bir Hagra doesn't seem to be as bothered by this psak. The Gra there says, when the Ramah says, V'yesh Omrim, that some people would, when the Ramah says about this minhag, he says, Kachi bezoer, v'tamim she'eno besimcha. He makes it sound like there is some sort of an idea when it comes to Birkas Kohanim. He doesn't say there in Shulchan Aruch, we should be duchening every day. I wonder if part of the motivation for the Gra in establishing it was not the pure halachic motivation. If there's pure halachic motivation, and he thought it was an unjustifiable practice, the Gra had no problem challenging earlier generations, and the Gra would not have backed down, and Lo B'Shamayim, he would be totally, totally, you know, applicable here. Shulchan Aruch's kasha is a good kasha. If it was pure halacha, the Gra shouldn't care about being arrested. It shouldn't matter whatsoever. No shaychus. It should just push it, do it, and that's all that you should be doing. The fact he isn't quoted in the Bir Hagra, it's not a raya mukhrachas to anything, because we'll have halacha ka'aras, the Gra isn't quoted in the Bir Hagra. But I wonder if part of the motivation for the Gra I have to look into this further, but I'm theorizing out loud. Is it possible it was not only motivated by pure halacha? Maybe pure halacha, the Gra thought, lemaisa, they're already showing that justify the practice. I don't love it, but halachically there's some pure justification. Maybe part of the push of the Gra to push for this Birkas Kohanim is because of something more that Birkas Kohanim symbolized and that he thought it would be able to do. And I'll try to describe what I mean. Number one. Etzem, the fact that it's quoted in that letter along with the Cheirim Rabbeinu Gershom of his Karvas to Geula, is it possible that's part of what was motivating the Birkas Kohanim also? There's something Geula focused about it. Is it possible the fact that the Gra's Talmidim, even though it's not in Chutz La'aretz, did it in Eretz Yisrael, Dafka, is that totally insignificant? Is there something about this that is Geula-like? To ask the question further, the Gra thought Klal Yisrael did a lot of things badly. Maisa Rav of the Gra listed lots of practices that they did that were considered to be not so appropriate. The Gra did not say about all those things, I would love to go from town to town and get everybody to wear tefillin all day. I would love to go town to town and make sure that no one says Vishamru on Friday night during davening. I would love to go from town to town in order to, again, many minhagei hagra, to change this about Nusach HaTfila or change that about Nusach HaTfila. There seem to be specific, that the Gra's fighting about this. And perhaps, part of the motivating piece here was, of course, halachically it's significant. But part of the piece was that the Gra is a great halachist. He's also a mystic. And that maybe the part that was motivating the Gra here had something to do with this Hiskarvas HaGeula kind of an idea. This may relate a little bit to HaTkufa HaGedola or whatever, certain discussions about the Gra, not for now. But I wonder if that's also the answer to that kasha of Bisrael Salanter. Bisrael had the question, what about Loba Shamayim? Why are you stopping? And the answer may be, I wouldn't stop Loba Shamayim if my cheshbon was purely halachic. But because part of what was motivating was something broader about geulas and hashpa'as and things like that, that the Gra was willing to say, then if there is a raya min hashamayim, so then apparently I shouldn't do it. If it's pure halacha, so maybe not. If it's not pure halacha, I understand why lo b'shamayim he wouldn't be as effective here, why the baskol would matter. Now, is it possible that there are rishonim that hold that baskols do matter in halacha? Of course there are. A list of rishonim, bring regular quotes, is akdama to shuvin hashamayim. But it's possible that that's part of what at least draws him, I think, in a certain sense, again, to explain, I think, at least some of the evidence. Which means that when the Gra comes along and the Gra establishes Nesias Kapayim Bechol Yom of Duchening every single day, that part of it is, of course, the Halacha, but part of it is the Shaila of how bad were the Halachic justifications for the Gra? If he really thought he was violating an Isser Doraisa every single day, if there's really a Chashash, again, you could hold Mitzvah Kiyumis, there are different discussions about things. But if the Gra really thought it was problematic, I don't know if he's backing down. Part of what sort of justifies the backing down is that he may have thought these were not the worst thing we discussed in the world. He wanted to do it for other kinds of reasons that relate to perhaps his desire to go to Eretz Yisrael, his Talmidim's desire to go to Eretz Yisrael, which may have had a certain geula kind of a component. But the two things he would always talk about are the Chayim Jibin HaGereshim and the Siyas Kapayim B'chol Yom. Is that random that those two happen to be linked together, given all the halakhic arrows that the Gra had? It's possible that's partially what was sort of motivating him in that way. It's like the merging of the Gra's fearlessness in changing things, but it seems, at least in this context, the Os and the Simen, Min HaShamayim, not to sort of pull back, you know, all the way which is there. But again, the Gra was successful in Eretz Yisrael. The Gra was successful in Eretz Yisrael. It's almost like I heard the message, but in Eretz Yisrael is a little bit different. I want to say one more thing, which is like totally a waste of time, but can I just waste your time for like 90 seconds or 2 minutes? I'll wait for 90 seconds. I'm just making the following suggestion. When you learn the seventh parak of Masechta Sota, when you learn the sugyas of Birkas Kohanim, so one of the major questions that comes up is what's the nature of Birkas Kohanim? How much is it like a tefillah or a bracha? Like we have many tefillos and we have many brachas. How much does it, like it's because of its central role in the mikdash, how much does it have a primary role as far as it being a form of avoda? And therefore, what's the relationship between the Birkas Kohanim, which takes place in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Birkas Kohanim, which takes place outside of the Beis HaMikdash? What exactly is the impact or the nature of Birkas Kohanim? In fact, we say it as part of the Bracha of Avoda, it's done dafka by Kohanim. How exactly do we relate to the status of Birkas Kohanim? Does it have an avoda type component? It is intriguing. I'm fascinated by these phenomena in general, that it may be an example of an avoda that we do outside of Beis HaMikdash. That most avodas and most karbanos and most things are limited to only the context of the Beis HaMikdash. We spoke about this many ideas by karbanos, but with this a lot, by karbanos, that there may be certain karbanos that are offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, Para Aduma, Tzipori Mitzora, the Seir La'Azazel. There's certain examples of karbanos that are offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, and there may be certain avodas or things that tap into avodas done outside. There was the relationship between Shechitas Chulin and Shechitas Kachim, Shailas in Maseches Chulin. But I think part of it is, I wonder if part of the drive, if there is a Hiskarvas Geula thing, And apparently the Gra, at minimum, was into doing things to help bring the Geula. To me, it would seem to be interesting. Wouldn't Birkas Kohanim be a wonderful place to start? Because Birkas Kohanim is a form of avoda that you could do in your Mikdash Ma'at, which is called the Shul, even in Chutz La'aretz. Like, wouldn't that be an intriguing place to start? So I'm not a Mekubal. I'm not in anything. But I'm just thinking out loud, if I had to choose something to start, Birkas Kohanim is like a, to me, it seems like a not bad place to go. It's identifying Kohanim a little bit, practically, and like mystic. You're tapping into a world of avoda, which is taking place inside the Beis HaMikdash. Like, is there anything there that potentially drives it? I wonder about that as a possibility. Thank you for indulging me, I guess, in letting my thinking out loud. But I think at least I always wondered if that piece of lumdus about the nature of Birkas Kohanim, again, big discussion of Rechosh Perla, the relationship between Birkas Kohanim in the Mikdash, out of the Mikdash, one mitzvah, two different dinim, similar halachas, different halachas, and the overlap, all that stuff is true. But to what extent is it possible that it taps into a certain kind of an idea of like, here's an avoda, which we do outside. I do think, and this is maybe what I'll end with, aside from all discussions about we don't do it because lack of Kohanim Yuchasim, lack of Simcha, because we're so tarred, we don't do it because we can't go to the mikvah, and all of those things, I think it really can frame, in a certain sense, the experience of, which we have every day here, and we can take for granted, the Birkas Kohanim, which takes place in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that we get Birkas Kohanim every day in Eretz Yisrael is a schus and a mitzvah, which is not in Eretz Yisrael. It really should be everywhere. We just are able to receive that bracha, specifically here, in a way which is very, very powerful and very, very important.